Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the third chapter of the book of Matthew now. It has 17 verses, translation and commentary. So now we have also part four of the receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have several letters here and emails that we'd like you to hear. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this message. Father, let this message, we pray that you pour out your outward anointing, which is the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in that Holy Spirit on a daily basis, because it's the Spirit to minister your word, to allow you to do the ministering through us. If it's just us, then it's not ministering of the Lord. It's not the work of the Lord. You want to represent yourself in and through us, and that way we can say that when we face you on the day of judgment, that truly we did not do great and mighty things in your name, but that it was you using us as your instruments, working in and through us. It was the work of the Lord. That way you will say, come in, my good and faithful instrument, my servant, my good and faithful slave, and to everlasting peace and joy and happiness, into the kingdom of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Church. Lord, we ask that you open up every heart, mind, spirit, and soul to receive. Let your words, which are spirit and permanent life, eternal life, we ask that you open every mind to be filled with the mind of Christ, and that you give us the power through your word and through the message that you designate and preach this evening through your servants, that you give us the power to stand one more day, one day at a time. That's all we're supposed to do. We're not to think of the long haul, because we don't know that we're going to be around another day or two. But just to keep the commandment, stay in the Spirit this day, and keep our minds focused on your word, which is you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means believe on the entire word of God, and thou shalt be saved. The name of Jesus is Father, you know, in your word you say it is the word of God, that he is. So believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means believe on the whole word of God, and prove it by doing what it says, and thou shalt be saved. Lord, we ask that you impress this on everyone in the mighty name of Jesus, that their souls might be saved, and everyone says amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, let's. You've got letters here. Is this an email or a letter?
A letter.
Okay, and where is it from?
From Akiva, Israel.
From Israel. All right, praise the Lord. We have followers there. the Lord's followers. Let me hear what they have to say.
Dear Tony Alamo, you are my beloved and God-given pastor. First of all, I must say that God has given your literature to me when I was in such a critical period of my life, when I needed to know what was the price of human's life and certain truths. Since I have been diagnosed with breast cancer, I was continuously thinking about life and death. Thanks to your literature, my life has completely changed. I see the world isn't so gray and dark as it seemed to me. Now I have Tony Alamo. I have come to understand your presence and your future concern about the church, which is the body of Christ. I feel God is changing my life. By reading your literature, all my body is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. About a year ago, I saw one and the same dream twice, and I couldn't understand what it was, as if it was something or somebody, I don't know, touched my shoulders, my back. It was somewhere behind. I was so frightened, I didn't see it. I only felt touching. I couldn't breathe. I was afraid I was dying and suddenly woke up. For the second time in my dream, everything repeated, and I realized that this was something having wings. It flew and disappeared. One day, very soon after that dream, I found a big envelope in my mailbox. There were enclosed a Messiah book in Hebrew and English, a copy of your testimony literature entitled Dry Bones and Signs of the Times. I couldn't stop reading and rereading. The more I was reading, the more my heart and my body was filled with the power. I told myself my kind angels came to me. Dear Tony Alamo, my friends and me have accepted Christ through your literature. Your literature has blessed my life. Please, if it's possible, send me 3 Bibles in Russian for my best friends to read the Word of Almighty God. My Lord and my God, I thank God for your life and your literature, which reaches different parts of the whole world. Thanks to your literature, millions of lives are saved. I will pray and ask for your long life. I'm sure God is changing my life. I would like you to send me every newsletter written by Tony Alamo. I thank you very much for the kindness and mercifulness and that you answer requests. Thank you that you have placed me on your mailing list. I thank God for your life. May the God bless your ministry for the good work done. P.S. I'm sorry to tell you that neither Western Union agent location nor the Israel Postal Bank agreed to cash the 2 money orders. That's why I'm sending them back.
She said that she was poor and she didn't have any food to eat or anything. And so I asked the Lord what to send her, and he said $1,000. And so I sent it there. I think it was the Western Union, and they wouldn't receive it. And so she sent the money. She hadn't sent the $1,000 back to us. And so we need to have her bank. We need to know how to get the money into her bank, the way she's saying, and she doesn't explain that in this letter. So keep going.
In my bank, they say I can get this money only if this money is sent directly on my account.
But we need to know the account number, okay? Then what else?
Unfortunately, I couldn't get money I'm so needing for my treatment. I will end here saying God richly bless you and your ministry. With best regards, sincerely yours, G.N. from Akiva, Israel.
All right, praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful letter? Then what? What's the next letter from?
From the Philippines. Beloved Pastor Tony, I'm sorry for I was delayed to answer your godly reading materials like the Pope's Secrets, Mass Suicide, and Earthquake newsletters. It is a big help to our congregation to understand the true meaning of salvation, not through good works, nor to be a church member, but only through Jesus Christ, the only Savior of our souls. Thank you very much for all the good things. You have helped not only me, but all people around the world.
Yeah, now we definitely have to allow the Lord to do His work in and through us, because we're going to be judged on Judgment Day for the work that He was allowed by us to do in our bodies. But we cannot get initial salvation by any good works. The only thing that we can do is come to the Lord and ask Him to enter into our heart and to die out to the world as He commands for us to do, to be buried and then be resurrected and then by the Holy Spirit, and then turn our back on the world, ascend with Him in spirit to the most heavenly places where He's seated, and be there with Him reigning, ruling, and having authority and power over every satanic thing in this world. And then also to fight spiritual warfare with the spiritual weapons, the Word of God. And so when He says that we're not to do good works to get saved, that is true. But we do have to fight spiritual warfare, and then we have to be in the body, which is receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord. But anyway, so we were going to be judged by the works that were done in our body by the Lord. If we refuse to do works, to distribute literature, to witness and testify, to win souls, to be kind one to another, to edify the church, to witness, testify, to pray without ceasing, and all the other commandments that the Lord says for us to do, well, then we won't be able to enter into the kingdom of God, and we have to continue on to the end. Okay, and then go ahead. Let's hear the rest.
You have helped not only me, but all people around the world, which you have helped by sending your helpful and godly reading literature. We know that many people were born again because of your literature. Anyway, I always include you in my daily prayers that God will continue to use you mightily for the salvation of many more innocent people regarding their salvation. If you have some more magazines regarding the conversion of the priest to be born again, I request you to send me some.
Yes, we're trying to win the people to the Lord to get him out of all the different false religions and the cults, and to get him into the Lord. The Lord, the body of Christ, is the only thing that is not a cult. All false religions are cults. And if anyone is attempting to get people into the body of Christ, and in fact, if they are winning souls and getting them into the body of Christ, that is no cult. That is the exact opposite of the cults. Okay, now go ahead.
Thank you very, very much once again, and God richly bless you more and more. Very respectfully, Brother B.G. from Antipolo City, Philippines.
Praise the Lord. Do you have something else?
Yes, from Africa.
What part of Africa?
Malawi.
All right.
Dearly beloved pastor, greetings from Calvary. I believe you're doing fine. I want to thank you for the soul-winning literature. Many are convicted and converted to our Lord through the literature. The Lord reward you abundantly. We need 15 cartons per trip. We need copies of the Pope's Secrets, The Real Thing, The Real Deal, Another Pearl Harbor, Peace in the Middle East, The Only Answer, The Sin of Unbelief, Being Led by the Spirit, and many old and new literature. I also would like, if possible, Chikuwa literature. Chikuwa is the native language for Malawi because some are unable to read English literature because of their education background. Please, Pastor, I request for videotape messages and audio tapes as well on different messages. The Lord reward you abundantly now and for eternity. Yours in the last crusade for winning souls for Christ on planet Earth, R.E. from Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. We're living in the last days, and these people in Africa and India and Philippines and Israel, they're hungry and they're reaching out. There's people, many people in the United States here also that are reaching out, but it seems like there's a lot more in Africa, India, and Philippines, places like this where there's a lot of poverty, and the people are crying out, and God is responding to their cries. All right, then what? We're in over 200 countries with the gospel, and I don't, just so many languages that we've translated the literature into, and I just praise and thank the Lord that He's given us the opportunity to do all this for, to let Him use us this way is just magnificent. Okay, then what? If that's all you have as far as letters and responses. All right, well now let's get right into the third chapter of the book of Matthew, and we'll start out with the translation.
John the Baptist prepares the way. Verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist began preaching in the Judean wilderness. Verse 2. His message was, quote, turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near, unquote. Verse 3. Isaiah had spoken of John, whom he said, quote, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming, exclamation mark. Make a straight road for him, exclamation mark. Make the ways of the Lord straight to the people, unquote. Verse 4. John's clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locust and wild honey. Verse 5. People from Jerusalem and from every section of Judea and from all over the Jordan Valley went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. Verse 6. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Verse 7. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them, quote, you brood of snakes, exclamation mark, unquote.
Right. They wanted to get baptized, and most people would say, well, they want to repent. Let's dunk them in the water. That's what they wanted to do. They didn't want to be baptized. They didn't want to die out to the world, to be nailed, crucified to the cross with Christ, because they didn't believe that's what he came here for. They just wanted to be dunked. There's a lot of difference between the significance of being baptized in water. The significance is that you are making a public appearance before the eyes of the world that exists around you, stating that I want to be nailed to the cross with Christ. No longer am I going to live my own life. I'm going to allow Christ to live in me. And so therefore I want to die with him. And I want to be nailed to the cross with him, and I want to be buried with him in this watery grave, this liquid grave, rather than these earthen grave that he was buried in, the cave. And I want to raise up from the dead just as he did, so that I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Christ with the Father by the Spirit, that I now am a person that is of the Lord. I'm now in the spiritual realm. I'm sitting with Christ also in heavenly places, and I intend to stay there and maintain my permanent life that the Lord has given me. And I don't want to lose it for any price, just because this is the pearl of great price. I found permanent, eternal, everlasting, immortal life. And I'm not going to lose it. It's a pearl of great price. It's the treasure of treasures. Immortality. Permanence in heaven. And so John the Baptist is saying to these guys, these Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm not going to baptize you, you brood of snakes, you stinking den of snakes, you, because I don't see you devoting your life to God at all. I don't see you doing any godly thing. And he's saying, you know, start doing the things of God and come to the Lord in a humble way instead of with your long robes and your pomp and your glorious clothing and so on. And then I'll baptize you, but not until then. Like, we have people in this church of mine that they're young boys that they are mocking, and they're getting into one thing after the other during the day, and then they say, I want to be dunked or baptized in water. And I tell them, no, just as John the Baptist did. And the Lord said he was the greatest of all prophets that were ever born, because he was the one that announced the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the one that was the voice crying in the wilderness, making the way of the Lord straight, getting the things of the Lord straight in people's brains and into their minds, into their souls, into their spirits. Here is the straight word of God. No adulterer, no fornicator, no liar, no thief, no hypocrite shall enter the kingdom of God. I mean, the Lord calls these people snakes. John the Baptist called them a brood of snakes, you group of weasels, evil serpents. I'm not going to baptize you. And that's just what I told one of the boys the other day that was just recently lying and mocking and everything. I said, let me see you serve the Lord here. Let's see some good reports come in here. This very same day he brought false reports against one of the people in the church. And so I have patience with him, but I'm letting him know what the Bible says. John the Baptist actually was Elijah come back. The spirit of Elijah was in John the Baptist. When Mary came in to greeted Elizabeth, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb because he was then filled with the spirit of Elijah. And the Bible states that Elijah, that prophet, must first come before the Messiah comes. And so that happened. And a lot of people think that the two witnesses, one of them will be Elijah. John, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you can receive this, that John the Baptist was Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was in him. So Elijah's not going to come back again and again. He was just here and was taken up into the heavens, and then he came back. His spirit entered into John the Baptist before he was born. And so the actual two witnesses will be Enoch, and because Enoch has to come back to earth, because he also was taken and he didn't die. And it's appointed unto man, every man, once to die, he has to come back to die, and after this, the judgment. And so he's going to come back, and I believe that his wife will be the other witness, the two witnesses, because they'll be seeing eye to eye to each other, and both of them will be one, even though it's the two witnesses, they'll still be one flesh. Enoch and his wife, and the spirit of Enoch will enter in. Now, Enoch was a very important scribe and prophet in the Bible, and he'll be coming back soon. I believe that he's actually on earth now. That's how close we are to the end of time. We're actually in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and partially into the 11th chapter, where we're to judge the people in the church by the word of God. The Bible says for us not to judge any man with our own judgment, but it says for us that we are able to judge all things by the word of God. And that, in fact, by the word of God, we will judge the entire of the angels and the entire world. So the Apostle Paul, the Spirit through Paul, stated that we are to do the judging and that we're not to go before the unjust. I see all these different ministers, they're saying that, oh, they have to get involved with who's going to be the Supreme Court justice and who's going to be this. Those that really war, spiritual warfare, legally, they don't get involved with the affairs of this world at all. How do these supposed to be people of God entangle themselves with the affairs of these ungodly, unsaved, unjust judges who they're waiting to find out if they're going to be for abortion or against abortion and all this garbage? They are to be, God says that abortion is a first-degree murder, and that we're not to have any carnal king over us, that we've come, we're the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve this Antichrist regime and serve the Lord as well. And they're focused so much on the Supreme Court justice and what President Bush is saying and all this kind of garbage, instead of witnessing to President Bush, and instead of witnessing to the Supreme Court justices, they just want to find out what their opinions are on abortion and murder and war and all this, instead of telling them what God says about abortion, that it's first-degree murder, and that we're not to war with carnal weapons. And they're saying, these false prophets are saying that President Bush is the Messiah. My God, how come you cannot tell that these people are not of the Lord, but of the devil? And they need to be saved, all right? So if they're possessions of the devil, they need to hear that they're going to hell if they don't repent. It's very, when people are so infatuated with power and great money and fame as they are, it's very hard for them to repent. But they have to make a choice as to whether they want to go to heaven or hell. And so John the Baptist didn't want to baptize these bunch of, this brood of snakes, he calls them, the bunch of serpents, because he saw no, any more than I want to baptize President Bush or any of these false prophets that you see on television today, or any of these Supreme Court justices. If they came to me to be baptized, I'd say, who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Let me see you make some statements that Jesus is the Lord, and let me see you humble yourself and leave the position of Supreme Court justice and stop running for President of the United States, and start coming into our church and start serving the Lord, and then I'll baptize you. Amen?
Amen.
Till then, you know, get out of here, you serpent, you snake. Amen?
Amen.
Just like Johnny said, Johnny the Baptist. Amen?
Amen.
Or Juan the Baptist. All right? Okay, let's go. Keep going.
You brood of snakes, he exclaimed, quote, who warned you to flee from God, to flee God's coming judgment? Verse 8, prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. Verse 9, don't just say, quote, we're saved, we're the descendants of Abraham, unquote. That proves nothing. God can change the stones here into children of Abraham.
Right. they act as though because of the fact that they were born from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that that means that they're Jews. The Apostle Paul said, all Israel is not Israel. Only those that do the work of the Lord are Israel. And even in the New Testament, the Lord is completely, because of the fact that much of Israel has turned their back on the Lord, God has turned his back on them. He said, now we have a new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is the body of Christ, the church, the building of God, the temple of God. Know ye not, he says, that you're the temple of God and that you don't belong to yourself? Why? Because God purchased us with his blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary. And if you don't believe that, well, then you're one of the brood of serpents, all right, that don't believe the word of God. A Jew, or people that are of the New Jerusalem, are those that believe Jesus. Those that believe the word of God. The word of God is Jesus, the entire word of God. So if you don't believe that Jesus is the Lord, that the word of God is the Lord, that God is the word, the word was in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. As a matter of fact, the word was God. If you don't believe that, then you're not Israel. I don't care if your name is, Abraham or Abi or whatever you want to call it, or Isaac or Jacob. You're not Israel. You're not even a Jew. I'm a Jew, but you're not a Jew. And any Gentile that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and does the work, allows the Lord to do the work in him, he's a Jew, and you're not. And so you've got to accept the word of God before you're a Jew. A Jew means one that believes in God, one that's the special people of the Lord, that keep his commandments, that fear him and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Okay, keep going.
Verse 10. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever your roots.
To chop you down. You people that think you're the seed of Abraham, or that you're a special chosen people of God, when you don't do anything that he says to do. He tells you to accept the Messiah. And he's given you hundreds of scriptures of how the Messiah would come, and you didn't read the scriptures to see it. And you didn't like the way he came the first time, that he came to die for the sins of the world. That's why there were animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, to be a figure, a type, or a symbol of he who was to come to die for the sins of the world. And so you didn't take that as the way that God meant it. What you did is you just did it as a ritual rather than as that it had some significance. The most important significance in the world, that the Messiah, God himself, was going to come into the world and give himself, and he became a man so they could have genuine human blood in him that he could shed, because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And animal sacrifices were not significant enough. They weren't the blood of God. God wants everyone to know that he loves you so much that he gave himself, his only begotten son, the human son, wherein he lived by the Spirit. And so when he gave himself on the cross, he then had, because he became a human being, to have genuine blood to shed for the forgiveness of your sins, your filthy sins. Then, if you accept that, because animals don't compare to God in the flesh, then you see the significance of what then the mighty works that Christ had done for you by his Father being in him, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily being in him. And then, therefore, you are saved if you believe in the blood that of the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God provided instead of having Abraham sacrifice Isaac. Abraham said, Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice, Father? And he says, God will provide a sacrifice. He was going to sacrifice his only begotten son. I believe that, and that's why I'm the first Jew. Okay, because I believe in the Messiah that's coming. I believe in the blood. God is going to provide it. I don't have to give up my only begotten son. God is going to give up his own son, and God himself will be inside the body of that human son that would sacrifice himself on the cross, would be obedient to God to the actual death on the cross at Calvary. Now, I've seen this movie of this, I forget what they call it, that this man just made of the crucifixion, but it didn't have the significance in it. They rely on Catholic teachings that don't bring out all the importance of the Bible, and they just have this man dying on a cross, and they say he's the Son of God, but it doesn't tell the significance or bring together to tie all the loose ends together to explain to people what really is going on and what the significance of being born again of the Spirit and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection and all these different things, the crucifixion. It's not there. It's not found because it's a bunch of unsaved religious people doing movies and they don't even know what they're talking about. You see all these people at TBN and all the different people that are Catholics, and they're saying that they're Christians, and they just don't register. It's actually infuriating to God, and it certainly infuriates me to see the way that they prostitute the Word of God and the Gospel, and they present it without the entire significance of the Bible. Okay, let's continue on.
Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire.
Right, so John the Baptist is saying, I am going to produce good fruit. I'm not going to baptize a bunch of rotten apples here and say that you're saved because I'm not a hypocrite. You're the hypocrites, and I don't baptize hypocrites, is what John the Baptist says. I'm a soul winner. I'm preaching that Jesus Christ, the Lord God, is God himself come in the flesh. And if you believe on him, you can be saved. That, and if you get saved, then you're good fruit. You're something that is produced by the truthfulness of the gospel. But baptizing rotten apples or people that are snakes and then bring them up and let them walk around in robes saying, yes, we partook in John's baptism. We're Christians and we're now saved. John the Baptist wasn't going to be that hypocritical. The churches are filled full of these hypocrites today. And this is why the Bible states in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians that Satan would set himself up in the temple of God, which you are the temple of God, and that you would begin saying that this false religion is God, that the Spirit in you is God. It doesn't mean that God's there's going to be a temple of God, that Satan's going to sit down in Israel. He's talking about you and all the other hypocrites and phonies that have fallen away from the Lord and love to gather yourselves together and clap your hands and to see these whiskey-a-go-go girls and guys up there gyrating around and clapping their hands and saying that that's God. You bunch of snakes, you stinking bunch brood of hypocrites, you. That isn't God. Can you picture John the Baptist up there doing the Watusi or wiggling himself around like these lewd people do that call themselves Christians? Everybody likes it. They're all standing up and clapping their hands and so on. This is not Jesus. This is not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the Antichrist. Satan has sat down in these people, and they're actually calling Satan God. They are actually are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, unless they're doing it ignorantly. And if you hear this and you're part of that crew, get out of there before you wind up with the unforgivable sin that is not forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Okay, now John wouldn't do it, and you better not do it either. The gospel is for everybody. If John wouldn't do it, then I'm not doing it. If I don't do it, and nobody in my church will do it, then you better not do it either, because you're inviting Antichrist to enter into you. All right, then what?
Verse 11, quote, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God.
Right. Only those that turn from their sins and turn to God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I just baptize you in waters because it's symbolic of that Christ is going to die the Word of God that's going to come into this world, and he's going to die because he said if we die, then we're going to produce more and more seeds. You throw a seed in the ground, it dies, it rots, and then up comes the corn or the wheat. And there are many seeds that it has then. You can see resurrection if you go out and look on your front yard, because all the seeds, the grass seeds, had to die first, and then they come up green. And that's symbolic. It's actually evidence that there's a resurrection from dying. And then you're buried with Christ, and then you're resurrected into everlasting life. Now the grass burns up with the heat of the sun, but if you resurrect by the Spirit of God, you're alive permanently forevermore. And even if you die, you're alive forevermore in heaven with the Lord. So be very happy that you're hearing these things, these truths, now, before it's everlastingly too late. And if you think that I'm your enemy because I'm telling you the truth, you're wrong, very wrong. I'm telling you the truth at the risk of my own life. Okay, then go ahead.
But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yeah, now the Holy Spirit, he'll baptize you and give you eternal, immortal, permanent life. This water baptism just shows that you got saved and you died out to the world and that you're starting to do the works of the Lord. But you must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God in you in order to bring forth good fruit, to win souls. You can't be the same old you, the good old you boy, or the good old girl, or the good old Alabama girl, or the good old California girl. You've got to be a member of Christ's body. You have to be resurrected into his life. Otherwise, if you're living the same, you cannot live the same life you did before, because then you don't have the life of Christ. Having the life of Christ means that you're have his life, that you're doing what he did, and that you're being led by Christ. That's having Christ's life, permanent life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 12. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork.
Right, he's ready to separate you, brood of snakes, from the little lambs that have the Spirit of God in them. He doesn't want you people that love your own life. He that loves his life will lose it. He that hates living the old life that he did before shall gain permanent, eternal, immortal, everlasting life. That's what the real gospel is. That's the good news, that there's the resurrection and there's the ascension. But you have to die first, and you have to be buried with Christ so that you can be resurrected and live forever in heaven with him. Okay, then what?
Then he will clean up the threshing areas, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire, unquote.
Yeah, he wants to clean us up. He wants us to grow by reading the Word of God until we become the fullness of the stature of Christ. He has to clean you up for him to live in. In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, my Father lives in many human bodies, many temples of God. If it were not true, I would have told you. I'm not the only one, he's saying, because I go away so I can prepare a place for you and a place for my Father to live. I'm going to enter into you and clean you up, and then Father and myself and the Holy Spirit are going to live in you. The Holy Spirit is God, and myself anyway. I've become the quickening Spirit, the life-giving Spirit that resurrects you from the dead, and I want you, and you'll have my life then, and I want you to continue letting me live my life in and through you. You can't be the same old you. You've got to produce. Let me produce more souls in and through you. Okay, then what?
The baptism of Jesus. Verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Verse 14. But John didn't want to baptize him. Quote, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, unquote, he said. quote, "So why are you coming to me?" Unquote.
Well, Jesus is going to tell him, because I'm a man, even though I am God in me, but I'm a man, and I'm here as an example to show every man, woman, and child what they must do. They must die out to this world in order for them to be part of the world to come in heaven. They can't be living their same life. They got to die out. And so, in other words, being baptized in this water is significant of being dying out to the world. The Bible says, love not the world, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now turn your eyes, your lusts, away from the world. Don't love the world. That's a commandment from the Lord. And just let me live in you. And let me give you my power. Because the word grace means the power of God. Christ brought power and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He brought the fear of the Lord. He brought the plan of salvation, the good news. Truth he brought. The truth. The power he came. With Moses came the law, which condemns everybody, because no one kept the law. But with Christ, he came with the truth and the power to keep, more than keep the law. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so if you give up the old life and don't believe these people that say, well, there's no one that's perfect. If you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, according to God, you're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go.
Verse 15. But Jesus said, quote, "It must be done, because we must do everything that is right," unquote. So then John baptized him.
And he says that we have to do everything that's right. Well, what's right? What's right is being buried, turning your back, dying out to the world, and being baptized with the Holy Spirit and getting into the ministry. Now, when he comes out of the water, here comes the Holy Spirit down upon him in the shape of a dove and lands on him and fills him with the power of the ministry. And then that dove-like spirit pushes him into the wilderness to be tested or tempted by the devil. Now, God's not tempting, but the devil does. And God just wanted to show him that he has now the power of God to turn his back on every temptation that Satan brings his way. And Jesus promises that he gives us the same power through the Holy Spirit and fire when it comes upon us to abstain from any temptation of the devil. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. Well, what does that mean? That means put on Christ, the whole Word of God. The whole Word of God is the armor of God. And the whole Word of God is the sword of God. The whole Word of God is the helmet of God. The whole Word of God is the breastplate of righteousness. The whole Word of God is the belt to be girt about with the truth. The Word of God is true. And to stand firmly in the gospel without being swerved by every wind of doctrine, like a reed when you see the wind blowing, it just shakes back and forth. No matter what the wind goes, you blow with this way and the wind blows you that way and you go that way. When the devil comes and tempts you to do this, you do it. When he blows you this way, you do it. He says, you'll be strong. You won't be blown back and forth like a weed or a reed in the wind. When you're powerful, when you've got the Word of God in you, when you've got my Spirit in you, you'll be as powerful, more powerful, millions of times more powerful than an old oak tree. Okay, and then what?
Verse 16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him.
Right, so you see that he came up out of the water. He wasn't sprinkled like they do at the Vatican or these false religions. He was buried in the water. That means that died out to the world. And then he came up out of the water. Amen?
Amen.
He just wiped a few sprinkles of water out of his locks, or that was rolling down his nose. But he came out of the water, he was dripping wet. He was totally baptized, totally dead to the world, but alive to God. Then what?
Verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, quote, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him," unquote.
This is my beloved Son in whom I am fully pleased. I am well pleased with this one. Nobody else ever kept all the commandments. Nobody else was filled with me. This man was begotten by me, this human body. And now he's doing everything I said. Okay, that was it? All right, now we have commentary on chapter 3 of Matthew. Go ahead.
3 verses 1 through 2. John the Baptist preached the centuries-old message, repentance. People could easily have dismissed his message by saying, quote, I've heard this before, unquote, or, quote, I'll quit sinning tomorrow, unquote. But John presented the need for an immediate moral U-turn or turnaround with fresh urgency. Quote, the kingdom of heaven is near, unquote.
Is at hand, yes. Then what?
Repentance requires honest self-examination. The sense of urgency in John's message is similar to the urgency for growing in the Lord after one is saved to the fullness of the stature of the Lord. There is no time like the present to face reality and turn from our self-destructive behavior. 3 verses 16 through 17. After Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit was seen in visible form in the Father, amended with Jesus, his Son. Jesus is thus shown to be in perfect harmony with his Father and the Holy Spirit, which the Father is. While those of us seeking the fullness of the stature of Christ, it may seem that they could never have perfection and unity in our relationship. We definitely can, and so many people say that we can't, but we can support each other from those who affirm us. As we study the Bible, God's love letter and letter of warning to the entire human race about the wrath to come, we see many evidences of God's unlimited love to those who love him and keep his commandments, those who strive for perfection, and those who walk in the Holy Spirit.
But we also see evidence of God's wrath on the earth to those of false religions and those that don't pay any attention to what the Lord says. Those who, in essence, thumb their nose at God's word, which is God. Then what?
And those who walk in the Holy Spirit, which causes them to be perfect. We are to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is perfection. Knowing how much our Heavenly Father loves us, if we keep his commandments, can help offset any false accusations from anybody.
All right. Now, that was the commentary. Chapter 3, Matthew, and now we've got part 4 of the fullness, receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Now, being full of the stature of the fullness of Christ is mentioned one time only in the Bible. That's in Ephesians 4:13. In this passage, the Apostle Paul, who some people call the writer, is not referring to individual saints. Of course, all of us have to be as full of the stature of Christ as we possibly can be. This is not referring to individual saints at all, but rather pointing out the fact that one day the body of Christ, which is the church, shall attain to such a state, shall attain to the fullness of the stature of Christ. In Ephesians 3:18, we read that to apprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the length of Christ, we need a togetherness with all saints. From these two scripture references, we see that the stature of the fullness of Christ and the unsearchable dimensions of Christ cannot be experienced by ourselves only as individuals, but by being in the body of Christ and joined together with all the saints. When all the saints are joined together, that is the fullness of the stature of Christ. Therefore, simply speaking, the majority of a Christian's life depends on something very important. That maturity takes place in the body of Christ, with all the members. We should never expect that we alone can attain to the maturity of life individually. In fact, when a person sees the body, when you're able to understand the body of Christ, you can no more be individual. You cannot be an individual if you can see the body of Christ and the necessity of it. And you can never grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ until you begin experiencing the body life.
Right, and the body life are those in the body of Christ that keep every commandment. And the reason for this is if we break one of the least commandments, we've broken them all. And if you've broken every commandment, there's no way you can get into the heaven. You're a sinner then. You've committed adultery, you've committed murder, everything, fornication, because the Lord is every commandment. He's the whole Word of God. So if you thumb your nose at any part of the Lord, then you've broken your allegiance to Him, the Word, and therefore you've broken every commandment. If I tell my boy that you can go out witnessing and testifying on the street, but you have to stay with the other Christians, and he veers away from them and goes somewhere and can't be found, well, then I'm not going to let him go out and witness and testify anymore. He's broken. He's thumbing his nose at my words and my because I'm trying to protect him and to keep him from going off somewhere and doing something that he shouldn't be doing. And I want to know that my boy is of the Lord. And I want to know that my daughters are of the Lord. And so I know if they stay with one another that they're not in any mischief or into any evil. And therefore, then I believe that the person is of the Lord. And because they obey the commandment to obey those that have the rule over you and obey your mother and father in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing with a wife. They have to obey their husbands and obey those that have the rule over them. Otherwise, they're thumbing their nose at God and they're breaking what they may consider to be the least of the commandments, but the Lord straightens that thinking out. It's straight thinking. The straight and narrow is you break the least and you've broken them all. And so the person is not qualified to go out on the streets. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Living as a unit, a corporate body, together is the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Right, because we're out on the streets and we're paying, we're trying to be examples to the brothers and sisters in the church. And if you're trying to be an example to the brothers and sisters in the church by being part of the church life, and everybody has the rules that you have to stay together in case somebody's falsely accusing you of something, or a temptation comes your way and the brothers will help you get away from that or so on. Well, if you're not paying any attention to those things, well, then you're a bad example to the church, and you're just putting the Lord Jesus Christ out to open shame and trampling underfoot his blood and making it that his blood is of no account, that you don't really care whether he shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins or not, and you stomp over his blood and the cross and every word that he's ever commanded, and you're rotten to the core and you don't belong in the church. You're not part of the family of God. You're not resurrected. You're not dead. You're not buried. You're not resurrected. You're not ascended. You're not reigning, ruling your own self, let alone anything else for the Lord. And you're not fighting spiritual warfare. Well, anyway, that was the third chapter of the book of Matthew with the translations and commentary. And also part four of the fullness, receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, in other words, partaking in the church life, the body life. And I'm Pastor Tony Alamo, who reads through the Bible with you, teaches you, because I'm not a novice. And until tomorrow, chapter 4 of Matthew, and part 5 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember these things and check me out. Read the Bible and see if what I'm telling you is the truth. Amen? And you'll see that I am. Okay, until then, God bless you and praise the Lord.